Welcome to the Deep Dive. We take your source material, we dig in, and we try to find the key insights. Today, we're looking at something pretty grim, actually. A really brutal, very public incident out of Dhaka, Bangladesh. The beating death of a businessman. Our goal here, our Deep Dive mission, is to really pull out the core facts from the news reports and statements you sent over. We want to understand, you know, not just what happened, but the why, the motives, and these political links that seem to have popped up surprisingly fast. Okay, let's get into it.
Indeed. And we'll stick just to the details from the sources on this specific event. The immediate context, these claims of political ties, we'll lay it out impartially, without leaning into any particular political view.
Okay, so let's start right there with the incident itself, the absolute core facts. Can you just lay out who the victim was and what happened?
Absolutely. So the victim was MD Sohag. He also went by Chan Mia, alias Sohag. He was 32 years old, a businessman dealing in scrap copper and wire. Originally from Barishal, this happened on a Wednesday, about 6:60 p.m. The location was near gate number 3 of Sirsela Mulla Medical College, Mitford Hospital. That's in old Dhaka.
And what the sources say about the attack, it's just incredibly brutal, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so public. What did the reports, the CCTV, actually describe?
It's deeply disturbing, the violence level. And right out in the open, there was CCTV footage. Apparently, it went around on social media. It reportedly shows the attackers dragging Sohag's body, already bloodied, onto another road. And they didn't stop there. They kept attacking him, stomping on his chest, punching his face. The sources used phrases like bashing in his head with a rock.
A rock.
Yes. And stomping his body with perverse pleasure. That's the quote used. It paints a really grim picture.
And maybe even more chillingly, this happened while dozens of people apparently just inside.
That's what's reported. Bystanders looked on. No one stepped in. Not hospital staff nearby, not security guards, not even from an Ansar camp that was apparently close.
Wow. And he was declared dead right when he got to the emergency unit.
Yes. Dead upon arrival. The attack was obviously incredibly severe.
That lack of intervention. It's stark. So, okay, what did the police, the initial investigations, start saying about the why? What was the motive behind something this extreme?
Well, investigators seem to zero in pretty quickly on a motive. The reports point to a business rivalry, a long-standing one, and a prior enmity between the parties.
Okay, a business rivalry. Sohag ran a business, Sohana Metal.
That's right. And he reportedly had quite a strong hold on the, let's say, the illicit copper wire and scrap trade around Mitford. You know, these kinds of high stakes, maybe less regulated trades, they can breed really fierce competition. And here, it seems it just exploded into violence.
And this is where it gets really specific, right? The sources name names. Rivals like Mahmudul Hossain Movin and Sarwar Hossain T2.
Exactly. They allegedly demanded Sohag give them a 50% stake in his business. Or, if not that, make regular payments to them, basically trying to muscle in.
And the way they set it up,
yeah,
it wasn't just a random attack.
No, not according to the sources. It seems Sohag was actually lured away from his shop. He was brought to the hospital area thinking he was going to a peace meeting.
A peace meeting. Seriously.
Well, that's the term used. But instead of peace, he was ambushed by a large group, maybe 40 or 50 men.
40 or 50 men, yep. Ambushing him after luring him there for a peace meeting. That's incredibly sinister.
So, given how public this was, how did the authorities react? Were arrests made quickly? What about the legal side?
Things moved fast, yes. So, Hogg's older sister, Mandwara Begum, filed a murder case right away with the Kawali police station. In the case, it names quite a few people, at least 15 to 20 individuals, including those main rivals, Mohin and T2, plus others like Nanu, Sarwar Hossain, Riyad, Rakib, people reportedly known to have criminal background.
And arrests. Yes, arrests followed quickly. 4 individuals were detained initially. The DMP, the Dhaka Metropolitan Police, they arrested Mahmudul Hossain Movin. He's identified as the prime suspect. They also arrested someone named Tarek Rahman Robin. And apparently they found a foreign-made pistol on him.
A pistol too, okay.
And then RAB, the Rapid Action Battalion, they arrested 2 other suspects. Their names weren't released immediately, but it shows multiple agencies getting involved fast. Police officials like Deputy Commissioner Mohammed Talibur Rahman and Kotwali Chief M. Munirizaman stressed they were giving this the highest priority.
Okay, so beyond the crime itself, the business rivalry, the arrests, this is where that other layer comes in, the political dimension. What did the sources start saying about political affiliations, specifically the BNP?
Right. This surfaced very quickly. Reports indicated that both the victim, Amdu Sohag, and several of the accused, including Mohin, were involved somehow with the local Jubodal.
Jubodal being the youth wing of the BNP party.
Exactly. The Bangladesh Nationalist Party's youth wing. Now, initially, their exact roles or positions within the party weren't clear, but the connection was immediately reported.
So that obviously raises big questions. How did the Jubo Dal and the broader BNP respond when these allegations started flying, that their members were involved in this brutal public killing?
Well, the response from Jubo Dal leadership was quite direct. Abdul Monaim Muna, he's the president of Jubo Dal, he acknowledged the allegations were out there about this person, Mohin. Muna mentioned Mohin had some past involvement with Chhatra Dal, that's the BNP's student wing, and maybe hadn't been active in Jubo Dal recently, but might have shown up at some rallies.
But what was the party line?
Muna was pretty emphatic. He said if any Jubo Dal member is proven to be involved, the organization would take action, they'd cooperate with authorities, demand the law take its course. He used the phrase no leniency, so a clear attempt to address it head on.
And was that echoed by others in the leadership?
Yes. Nurul Islam Nayan, the general secretary of Jubo Dal, also commented. He clarified things a bit. He said Mohin had been a candidate for a local general secretary post. But Nayan also stated that, quote, those seen in the video are not direct leaders or activists of Jubo Dal. A bit of distancing there, perhaps.
But did he acknowledge any connection?
He did. He conceded that, quote, two of the accused named in the case are affiliated with Jubo Dal. And like Muna, he urged law enforcement to pursue legal action.
Okay, so acknowledging affiliation for some,
yeah,
but maybe downplaying their roles. But then the party took some concrete action, didn't they? Expulsions.
Yes, that's maybe the most significant part of the response. The Bangladesh Jatiyat Abadi Jubo Dal moved very quickly to officially expel two of its leaders because of their alleged involvement. These were Raja Pal Tintu, described as a former assistant secretary for climate affairs in the Central Committee, and Saba Karim Lucky, who was a joint convener for Dhaka South Jubo Dal.
And these two were named in the actual case filed by the family.
Explicitly named, yes. So the expulsion was directly tied to the allegations in this specific murder case. This wasn't just a general statement. It was targeted action.
Right. That's a very fast, very public disavowal. What message does that send? What did their official statement say about taking responsibility?
The statement was clear. It said the Jubo Dal would, quote, not take responsibility for any criminal activities committed by the expelled individuals, drawing a very distinct line between the organization and the alleged actions of these members. They doubled down on calling for law enforcement to act strictly. And then you had a statement from higher up in the main BNP party.
From the standing committee.
Yes, Salahuddin Ahmed, a member of the BNP standing committee. He really pushed back hard against blaming the party as a whole. He called it dirty politics to link the BNP to isolated incidents like this. He framed it as malicious political maneuvering. And he asserted strongly that the BNP and its affiliates have, quote, never sheltered any criminal, nor will they ever do so, stating they have a zero tolerance policy.
So a very clear attempt to separate the party brand from the alleged criminal actions of individuals who happen to be affiliated.
Exactly. Acknowledging the individual's reported links were undeniable, taking action like expulsion, but firmly rejecting any sense of organizational responsibility or tolerance for the crime itself, that's the picture painted by the sources.
Okay. So this deep dive, looking just at the sources on this specific killing of MD Sohag in Dhaka, it really lays bare a complex, frankly chilling mix of things. You've got what looks like a criminal business dispute, incredibly brutal public violence, and then these immediate tangled political connections.
Absolutely. We see how that business rivalry apparently boiled over into this horrific public assault, and then how the political group implicated, the Jubo Dal, responded pretty rapidly. They acknowledged some individuals were affiliated, but also took steps to expel members and strongly denied any organizational responsibility.
The details are stark. The violence, the public setting, the fact that bystanders reportedly did nothing, and then the speed of the political reaction. It really gives you a snapshot of some of the difficult dynamics at play there.
It really does. It shows how a single localized incident, even one rooted in something like a business feud, can immediately spiral into involving political organizations and trigger these very public responses and denials. It touches on accountability, governance, public safety, lots of layers.
So wrapping this up, what does this specific case mean for you, our listener? Thinking about these details, the brutality, the public nature, the alleged political links, those swift expulsions and denials, it brings up a really interesting question to chew on. When you have these situations where private conflicts, like a business dispute, violently spill into the public square and they intersect with political party affiliations, What does that really tell us about accountability? How do we, or how should we, think about responsibility for the individuals versus the organizations they belong to? And how might all of that shape public trust, both in the justice system and in those political groups? Something to consider.